Man.
Ethan!
That was your fault. You were off sync.
How was it my fault?
All right.
You were off sync.
Ladies, quit your whining. We're doing it again. Oh, we're recording.
What?
Oh, we are?
Hi, guys! It's me, it's Matt. Do you remember me?
Yes, the Bop It guy.
Yeah, Ricardo. And Ethan?
Yes, that's me.
Oh, sorry, I've been playing Bop It here. I haven't been paying attention much. What's happened recently?
Have you been playing Bop It for an entire year?
Our website, it went down for a bit. Now it's back.
Oh yeah!
Now we're back.
Hey, Bop It addictions, man.
We're back.
They're a real thing.
This is Bop It Extreme.
Oh,
this is the newer version of Bop It. I have Bop It Classic right here next to me because you know you can't beat the classics. But Bop It Extreme,
that vintage want, Bop It.
If you want a real challenge, that's where you go. The Masters go for Bop It Extreme. There's nothing there, and you know the classics is you know it is what it is. But
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
you just need more.
Yeah.
Like Doritos 3D.
Man. Now I'm sad.
R.I.P., man.
Hey, yeah. Who are we, Matt? Maybe you should...
Who are we?
Who are we?
We are a collection. We are a corporation. We are an incorporated... Oh, we're Pixel Legends. Or whatever that is these days. But, yeah, we...
Real man. Convincing there.
listen, man, I'm not gonna pull any punches here. We haven't been exactly around much, so I hesitate to call us a gaming website anymore. But man, we are still gonna try.
We're an enclave.
You know what we are though. We're definitely a podcast because there's definitely a podcast happening right now.
Well, they are. I hope they already knew that because they're listening.
Okay.
So, you know, that would be difficult. It's like, wait a minute, what am I listening to? What's this collection of voices and sounds?
Taking your computer to the repair shop. Yep, there's noises coming out of it. Don't know what it is.
I downloaded a virus. How do I get it off?
Well,
also, I want to keep all my search bars. Please don't delete those.
My Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna talk about games, I guess. You know, if that's what the kids are playing these days.
Sure.
I mean, I've been playing Bop It for the past year, but you know, other than that, I mean, nothing's really happened in the past year as far as video games go. Though, I mean, they haven't really nothing really has changed. I mean, last time we did a talk, we were talking about Animal Crossing.
Ooh, I remember
that's
that
last
game.
Podcast we did.
I hear the Animal Crossing's in the new Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, jumping straight ahead.
The Animal Crossing?
The Animal Crossing.
That's his name. That's his name.
Man, did you see Smash? They added the Animal Crossing to the roster. That was crazy.
My favorite character is the Animal Crossing. I
just came back from a Smash tournament. That's what the kids are calling it. They had a
yeah, I was gonna say, are you one of those people that just calls it Smash?
I just call it Smash tournament. Well, after going to this tournament, I feel like I have to call it that now. I actually went for the local newspaper here where I live. I sometimes work for them, and I went and
not anymore.
Yeah, well, I don't want to bring that up. Anyway, it's not my fault. I'm a good employee. Anyway,
That's a good way to announce your departure from the company. It's not my fault.
I am pretty hyped up though. Like that going to that tournament did hype me up because it was a local tournament put on by the library of all things. But there was a bunch of kids that were 14 there, which was kind of weird. But they were more excited than
like,
I've
hey,
ever
kids,
been for any video
you
game
smash
ever
with me.
Really?
Man, that's but wait, what about Minecraft?
That's good to hear that the kids
well, you can't,
are still into the classics.
You can't beat each other up over Minecraft.
Now, what you really should have said, though, is how ask them how they feel about Bop It.
Yeah. If you really wanted to connect with them.
You should.
Well, I'm going to ask them. You should have whipped out a Bop It. Or the classics or what's cool these days.
Mm. But, oh, you know what? You know what else I have right here?
Yes.
Light Wars.
Light Wars.
Light Wars, huh?
Yeah.
The Sound Effects Podcast. Welcome.
Anyway, right, we're done. Point of that story back to video games. That I'm pretty hyped up for New Smash Bros. Because seeing how those kids are freaking out about it made me want to realize like how fun a big old tournament of that game is.
So yeah. how did the kids do? Was there some good Smash skills on display? Or
there was a lot of good Smash skills on display.
Was it Final Destination? No items, Fox only.
No, they had items aim enabled. They did play Final Destination. They could chose any character they want. It seemed there's too many kids and the game couldn't support it, so they did two games of 24, I believe, each. So two tournaments.
No 48 tournament characters.
Yeah, I don't think there's any 48 tournaments, so which kind of sucks for them, but it made it look pretty interesting. So I stayed through one tournament, got some, because I was taking photos at the time, and man, Mr. Game & Watch, who knew he could actually be pretty good and competitive?
Nice.
I don't think he actually is, but when you're playing with a bunch of kids, maybe he is. He beat out Kirby in the end.
First you're all inspired by these kids, and now you're like, oh, these kids are very good. And then next, you're like, how do I reach these kids?
Well, mid-tier. Game & Watch is mid-tier, man.
Just watch.
He probably is mid-tier.
I'm not sure I can really get into any serious Smash Bros. Discussion.
Well, actually, at the...
Yeah, go ahead.
At the Super Arcade... Over in Walnut, California, right across the street from Mount Sac, every Sunday they still do Smash tournaments. So it's gonna be exciting to actually see how that community resurges with the new Smash Bros. Coming out. So
yeah, man, they enabled GameCube controller support on the Wii U.
That's gonna be huge.
So you know it's for pros. Yeah.
Totally.
They didn't even like give kids the option to choose anything. They're just like, here are these GameCube controllers. You're playing with that, even though they're playing Brawl. They're like, take these. You're gonna use
Brawl?
Them. They were all...
Oh, I thought they're. No, I thought you were playing some enough. Sort of. I thought you were playing some sort of advanced or like demo build of
the new one. No. It was just
Ethan's got the connections.
Some kid actually walked up to the library. I worked at Nintendo.
You should have said yes. My uncle does. Let me tell you who's gonna be the next Smash Brothers.
I said no, and
you
then
should have said,
he asked me, do I know the creator of the game? And I was like, no,
say,
I do not.
That's when you say yes, because it's Sakurai.
Sakurai?
Yeah.
No, I know who
Kirby.
The game, he asked me if I knew him, like, personally.
Yeah, you'd be like, yeah, let me call him right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I'll tell him you said hi. What's your name, kid?
All right, fair enough.
And you just like...
I messed up. Yeah. I'll correct it next time. Next time I'm tricking a kid. Poor innocent 12-year-old. I'll definitely
make
sure to
lie to him.
You said
14 earlier.
Well, it ranges
from
like 11 to like 14 to 15.
You don't even remember.
Mm-hmm. It's like middle high school.
It's all over the place. The story's fishy to me, Ricardo.
Yeah.
They're good at the game. They're not good at the game. They're 11. They're 14. What is it?
They're Mr. Game & Watch. They're Fox. They're items. They're not items. Actually, you said they were items. You know, I was one of the few people that actually enjoyed Brawl. It got a backlash against it because it wasn't very competitive compared to Melee.
I actually really liked Brawl as
and
well.
And I really liked Brawl. I understand the criticisms, some of the criticisms, yeah. But I just think that the...
You please understand the criticism?
I didn't really play enough Brawl. I guess I just didn't have enough... at the time it came out, I didn't really have many friends that were into local fighting games, so I didn't really play it that much. So I do have a better connection with Melee, though I didn't like hate Brawl. I thought it was fine. I kind of liked the single player they had. It was kind of cool. At least
I liked that crazy story. Melee. Yeah.
Subspace Emissary.
That was a weird. I remember getting Brawl about 2 days early due to some connections I had at the time. And,
whoa. You know
it.
Sakurai?
That's why I was trying to tell Ethan, but he wouldn't listen. Playing it for like pretty much those 2 days straight, because on the day it came out, our friends are going to come over and we're going to have a party to celebrate the Brawl launch. That's how cool it was.
Dang.
Man. That's how big. Must be nice to have friends.
And then we went to the local GameStop and tried to beat everybody because we'd been playing it for 2 hours before the GameStop tournament started at like, 10 p.m. or whatever. We didn't win.
Aww.
Because we'd been practicing with GameCube controllers, I think, and then they were like, here, use these Wii controllers. No nunchuck. Just the Wii controller turned sideways, which has like half as many buttons as you need to play
Smash Bros. The optimal way to play.
But with that said, my friend Brandon can play very well using the Wii Wheel, which came with Mario Kart.
Man, that's a talent.
That's his primary method of Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
So, speaking of Smash Bros., did you guys see the in Japan, since it's already released over there, how it's been allegedly breaking 3DS analog sticks?
I have seen that. And on the one hand, it freaks me out, but on the other hand, I see that a lot with, like, fighting games or, even back in the day with Mario Party, like, breaking N64 controllers, never happened to me. And it's just, like, I don't know.
You have to be jamming those things to, I'm not saying they're super sturdy, but I don't know. I'm not sure that's a worry.
That's the thing, is, like, I'm pretty rough at times with my controllers and whatnot, but I still kind of, like, respect that they have a restriction of movement, I guess, and so I'm just, like, I don't ever break controllers, but...
The thing is Smash Bros. Requires you to do, like, jam your analog stick in a certain direction really quickly to pull off a smash attack, so I feel like that might be contributing a little bit more, because fighting games, you just have to put it in a direction... And it'll do it normally, but this one's actually asking you to kind of like quickly flick that in that direction to do a smash attack, which I could see some people getting really into a game and then, forgetting that they're forgetting their own strength and then just kind of breaking it, I guess.
Yeah. But I feel like you can easily, like we played the demo, obviously, it's out in 3DS. You can easily play that game without causing any permanent damage. It's not. I don't know. I think you have to be careful with your stuff.
Definitely.
I never broke any of my old controllers.
Or guys, you could just use the C stick on the new 3DS.
Man, we're just segueing all over the place.
Coming out.
Let's just break that down a little bit here, because I mean I think a lot of people have already like this. This has been a pretty talked about topic, but. Just how horrible Nintendo's naming scheme has become recently.
Please understand.
When I saw it, I didn't really understand what it was. Like, it took me a long time to actually initially, like, read through all of the reports and kind of see that, hey, this is kind of similar to how the Game Boy Color was a step up from the Game Boy. But
that was such an obvious break compared to this, This, especially since they're just calling it the new 3DS. It didn't work. It didn't work for Apple with the iPad, and that was two years ago, I think. Now let's see. It was 2 years ago that they tried the new iPad, and that didn't. And they just dropped that because it didn't work. And now, with a console that you already have naming problems with, because you have the 3DS and the 2DS, and the Wii and the Wii U, and now we're just calling it the new 3DS. I thought it was just going to be the bigger problem is really that it's like I thought it was just the extra thumbstick at first, but it turns out there is actually like a better processor in there. Marginal probably, but it is actually different hardware inside, which that could definitely make a difference in the long run.
That was my big problem with it too, because I was actually kind of on board with it because I was like, oh, cool, the C stick seems like it's needed new addition, all this other like fidelity stuff I could care less about, but then when I heard reports of that there were going to be games released exclusively for new 3DS and that could not be played on a normal 3DS, that again it's kind of a Game Boy Color situation where they did have certain games that were compatible with both, but then they had certain games you could only play on a Game Boy Color. But I just feel like with the name scheme combined with the how close this is kind of coming right on the heels of 3DS really hitting a stride here, it's just kind of like really feels just not good. Like not
they might have been really they might have been really upset over the mainstream media forgetting how the Wii and the Wii U, and they're like, it's not a new console, it's just a controller. Now we're just like, no, this is straight up a new console. Yeah, that's it.
But it's not all the way a new console, because it's still the same console. Right. It's just got slight differences. Yeah, that's where it gets tricky. And then, like, there's you have this weird problem, because, like, there'll be these games that are exclusive, like Ricardo's talking about. But then you also have games that, like, don't take advantage of it. So it's like, oh, why should I get the new one just to play two games that I couldn't play before? Yeah. Like, unless, you know, if every game maker suddenly starts making, you know, a ton of them, maybe the value goes up for that. But it's also like, if it's just like, oh, there's just like two Nintendo games that we made just to, you know, show off the features of the new thing, then it's like, oh, this is not really very helpful at all. You know, all I'm saying is they need to make CPUs like the N64 so that you could just get an expansion pack and just take the bottom of your 3DS and detach it and then put on a red-colored top of the 3DS.
Yep.
And now it's got more memory.
That way you're walking around and you can play Donkey Kong. Check you out and be like, man, that guy has money to spend.
Use the extraction tool to get it out and to put it in, or else you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up.
Also, get a rumble pack for it.
Oh, yeah.
To attach the rumble pack to your 3DS. It goes in the headphone jack, and then your 3DS can rumble.
That's where Nintendo really went wrong with all their newest hardware, is just where are the rumble packs?
They're built into the controllers?
No, definitely that's not pack. That ain't no pack.
That's true.
Doesn't take batteries. Well, actually, the Wii Mote does. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. So the Smash Brothers being what it is, but that's not really a game that's out yet. I mean, we played the demo. I mean, have you guys been playing anything currently that is actually fully released?
You want to go first, Ethan? Or
I mean, I've been playing Bop. I've been playing more Bop It over here. If you guys want to fill time,
I've been playing Bop It. I'll go first. Why not? I've been recently binge playing, because it's the only way to describe how much I've been playing Diablo 3. It's been a cycle of come home, turn it on.
Oh, it hasn't been a year at all. We're just kidding.
Yeah, I know.
We're actually recording this podcast 2 years ago.
Yep. How about that auction house? That's pretty crazy.
Real money. Oh, they're just getting rid of it, I heard.
Yeah, it's been a sick cycle of me just coming home and playing it all night while binge watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia for some reason. I don't know why that's my choice of show.
Good choice.
But I
just watched the Lego movie again last night.
That's nothing like what I'm watching.
I know, but it's got
Charlie Day in it. Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Right. Listen to my segue here.
Correlations.
And then I looked at the commentary, and I'm like, oh, I wonder who does the commentary for this movie. It's Charlie Day.
Yes.
I mean, there's other guys, too, but...
Oh, I was gonna say, just Charlie Day.
It's only Charlie Day.
All right, you're doing the commentary. That'd be pretty good.
It would have been Retchley. That would have been actually pretty good. It's also Will Arnett and a couple other actors. Will Arnett's funny, because the first thing he says is like, I haven't seen this movie yet. And then, so the him commentating on it is the first time he's ever seen it. So
that's actually pretty awesome.
It's good that I watched sometime, because that movie's awesome.
Is Pratt one of them, or is he too good for it now?
No, he's in it.
All the movies. He's in it.
He is in it. Allison Brie, and the two directors are the commentators.
Lego movie.
Anyway, back to Diablo 3. Yeah, really
video games.
Yeah, back to real media.
Lego.
Yeah, so
Diablo.
I've been playing that for a while. I don't really know why. I enjoy playing it with people, but all those people stop playing, or they haven't stopped playing, but they just kind of like are taking breaks. Mm-hmm. But I just keep playing without them. I keep playing alone and just trying to run. They added new Greater Rifts recently, which are, I don't know if they even had Rifts. Rifts are new too. Rifts are basically these just straight up, like, here's a place, kill as many monsters as you can until it fills up all the way, and then a rift boss will spawn, and then you kill him and he drops good loot. That's literally it. So you go clearly, and do that. Now they've added in greater rifts where they're on a timer. So you're kind of, you can actually work up sort of a leaderboard with the timer and everything like that, which is makes it kind of cool incentive. But I've been running those just trying to get better loot because now they added sets and the sets are actually useful. And it's turned this whole weird, disgusting game of me just sitting in front of the computer clicking a lot. And I'm pretty sure my carpal tunnel's coming back. So that's not good.
Oh, yeah. Early onset.
Yep. Clearly, so clearly we're talking about Reaper of Souls, which actually more recently dropped on consoles, and I've been looking to pick that up. So is that a big recommendation there, Ethan?
Well, I haven't heard that they dropped the new patch for the console version yet, even though I heard they wanted to. I haven't seen that happen yet. But the new expansion, even for the consoles, is still miles better than Diablo 3 was originally when it first came out. Like, the game, they've really done a great job of just ripping everything out of the game that nobody likes and putting in things that everyone does like. Which, kudos to Blizzard for doing that, really supporting their games like crazy. And I know they're only going to keep being supported from now on. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to keep making money off this game, because there's no way to skim off the real money auction house anymore. Maybe they'll release another expansion, though the first Diablo 2 didn't only had one expansion, so I'm not really sure what's going to happen next. Also, if they're going to want to change anything for the... it's going to be hard to keep the PC version in line with the console version as well. But, yeah, I mean, if you're a console gamer, definitely. I've heard a lot of great things about Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls Edition, or I don't know, what's it called? Ultimate Evil Edition or something?
Yeah, Ultimate Evil Edition.
Yeah, Ultimate Evil Edition, yeah.
The Reaper of Souls is the expansion.
Yeah, it's
right?
Yes. That's the PC.
I mean, I've got a million segues off of what you just said.
Don't spoil them all at once.
Oh, man. Speaking of loot games, Ricardo, what have you been playing?
Speaking of being disgusted in myself just playing this game.
Speaking of Blizzard supporting their games. We'll get to that later.
Speaking of, hey, guys, I've been playing Halo Loot Edition with not a good story, a.k.a. Destiny.
Man, that sums up...
Wait, before we start that, are we arguing that Halo had a good story?
Yeah, see, okay, well, I don't know if I want to get into that right now, but
well,
anyway...
I'm pretty sure Halo had a better story.
I liked Halo's story, don't get me wrong, I'm just saying, was it a good story?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that the way Destiny's story is told, there's not much of it in the game as it stands, but the way it's told, it's got, like, Bungie's fingerprints all over it. It could honestly be a Halo game if... It could honestly be a Halo game if you just, like, just walked in on it at some point and were like... What is this? Guys, future guys in armor shooting guns and
against aliens.
Nonsense. Against aliens. Against multiple races of aliens.
What?
But anyway, so yeah. So Destiny, I actually just today finished up all the campaign missions that are in the release as it stands. And they
all
actually...
four of them?
Yeah. There are four planets, but yes. There are multiple missions on each planet, Matt. Come on. But anyway,
how many are the same?
Each planet is... Okay, so the way Destiny is structured is that you unlock a planet, you'll typically have a couple of story missions on that planet that have a recommended level that you should be at in order to take them on. And... completing one or both of those unlocks patrol missions on the planet, unlocks strikes on the planet, but essentially the planets are all a single map. Like, if you go to Venus, all the missions that you do on Venus are going to be on the same map. And they're big maps that are divided into, like, multiple areas, but you are going to be seeing a lot of the same parts of the levels. You're going to be seeing a lot of the same enemy mobs spawning in the same place, so it definitely has a lot of MMO trappings in that sense, as well as whenever you're actually doing a story mission, you get instanced into your own version of that story mission, so you will see other players just kind of randomly playing around the level, but as soon as you get into one of those instances, you're either by yourself or if you're not, if you have other people in your actual private party, you're playing with other people. But does anybody have any questions about Destiny? Because I think
I have heard that. Yeah, as that question implies, neither Ethan nor I own nor play Destiny. When they actually when they announced the white PS3 Destiny combo back at like E3, was that? I don't remember when they announced
Gamescom,
that.
But yeah.
Was it not this most recent Gamescom?
Oh yeah, you're right. I don't know. What,
but anyway, either way, I was like semi like, oh man, okay, maybe I'll get that. That looks pretty cool. And then like as the lead up to Destiny has been coming up, just like just the stuff I've been seeing of it, like it's not even that it looks bad, just that I just like I don't know about this. And then I had just had some serious like I'm not sure this is actually or like for me or like it just seems like there's a lot. It seems like I mean like let me ask a question here. Like is it true that every time you do any mission, you start off in the exact same spot. Like, you start those four areas, but you start off in the exact same spot in each area. And then you have to go to the mission. And the mission is usually kill a guy or kill a group of guys or point your robot at a thing. And then that's the end of the mission.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. You get dropped into a mission, usually at a same starting point. You pop Ghost up. Ghost is your little robot buddy, voiced by a very bored Peter Dinklage. And then he'll usually point you in the direction of where the mission is. You hop on your little motorbike, and you head over there. And then it's usually kill this guy, or flip this switch, or have Ghost scan this guy thing, and then fight off waves of enemies, and that's typically how it goes down. It's very much a loot loop. It's very much Halo kind of meets Diablo with some sort of with some MMO elements in it. Like, for example, today there's a big social hub. It's not really big because I think it can only fit about 20 people in any instance version of it, but the central kind of place, neutral area, is this place called the Tower. Today, something new opened up on the tower that had never been seen before. This little enclave that's behind the guy that gives you bounties opened up, and there's now a ship back there with an emissary from the Queen of the Reef, which nobody knows what the heck I'm talking about because nobody knows anything about the story in this game. But
nope. Oh, wait, Forerunner.
No.
No.
Yeah, so that opened up, and you can actually now get missions for the Queen of the Reef and gain favor with her, because that's how this game kind of, I think, gets a lot of its legs, is that a lot of the loot that you can actually unlock is actually very faction-specific, and you can only get points for certain factions to unlock this loot by either wearing the colors of this faction or doing bounties for this faction or whatever. So a new faction was kind of introduced under the Queen's banner, so I've been doing a bunch of bounties for her today. And that's just really interesting because it's kind of neat to see stuff pop up in your game and be able to talk to other people about it. That's kind of what I like about Destiny, is just this feeling of just you're just playing a game, you know? I am a little bit disappointed in the story, but it's
what,
just...
What is it? I guess that's the thing. I haven't heard it adequately explained in any sense of the word. I know that there's the Traveler, which is the big orb.
Yes.
And I know that there was a golden age and humankind was awesome, and then the Traveler has enemies, which are all the different aliens... And then they killed all the humans except for just one city left. And that's all I know.
Yeah, you pretty much... Matt, have you played Destiny?
Because
you
played
pretty
the
much,
whole game.
You
all
pretty
trick.
Much summarized it.
I well, know everything.
Much of the story in Destiny is all based on that little bit of information you're given up front. That basically there's this big orb in the sky. It's called the Traveler. It came down and orbited Earth, and it it introduced all this sort of technology to us, and our lifespans really, really increased, and it terraformed Venus and Mars and the moon, so we could colonize those with the new technology that we had. But turns out that the Traveler was running from something, and that the very dully named The Darkness.
The Darkness. Oh, and is it two tentacled creatures that kind of spring out of a dude?
It's
and eat hearts.
No, it's it believes in a thing called love.
Oh.
No, but anyway, so
straight down to the rhythm of the heart.
Yep, precisely. You nailed it. And so the darkness. Turns out the Traveler was running from this very, very ill-defined force called the Darkness, and it finds the Traveler, and with it, it brings these different alien creatures that utilize the darkness for like transport and shelter. There's like a group called the Hive that they worship the darkness as kind of a religious force, and they want to stamp out the light because, you know, that's a thing.
Because reasons.
Yeah, so
because they're evil.
So the Traveler basically goes dormant. Earth and all the surrounding planets basically get wrecked, and you get brought back by this probe that the Traveler, right before he went to sleep, he sent out a bunch of probes called ghosts, and they seek out guardians.
Is that the Traveler's like? Is that like a sort of like, I don't know, passive aggressive technique of like, you don't want to clean your room, so you just kind of go to sleep and ignore it, and he's just kinda, like, I don't know.
Seems that way. Well, like he can protect one city, and that's the tower. And then
how
he's
convenient.
Just like, all right, everybody
I'm asleep.
Else, do everything else, because so
I've been running for millions of years from the darkness.
Yeah,
I'm done. I'm done running.
And really,
I'm asleep.
And really, that setup is all you have to go to drive on it. A kind of a subplot is introduced about halfway through the story campaign, but really that doesn't necessarily have an interesting arc or an interesting conclusion. And then when that's just kind of done, it's literally like, oh, good job stopping that, but there's still lots of stuff going on, so keep playing our game.
So everything I mentioned was backstory. Is there like there's like nothing except the minutia of like, oh, this guy's a boss, we should kill him.
Yeah, like that's, it's basically, hey, you got brought back by this ghost. You've been chosen as a guardian. You got to help push back the darkness. There's bad guys, go kill them. Like I said before, there's like a subplot that's introduced about halfway through. I don't think I'll be giving anything away, but there's this mechanical race referred to as the Vex, and they've kind of set up this network on both Venus and Mars, and they're planning something. Literally, that's all it says in the game, is that they're planning something, and you have to go into the Vex network in order to shut them down, because suddenly they're the most like dangerous threat in the universe, I guess. Again, if this seems like I don't know what I'm talking about, it's only because that's really all you get in the game.
It's because Destiny doesn't know what it's talking about.
So you have to go kill this Vex guardian called the Gate Lord so that you can get its head, and then give that to the Queen of the Reef so that they can get the eye out. But then the eye dies, so you have to find a way to charge up the eye so that you can open up a gate so you can get into the network and do something. That's the story.
Wow, all right, exciting.
I think Ethan fell asleep during that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I went
but
and
see, that's the
Cheez-Its, but, came back, and then I started listening
but
again.
See, that's
I still
the
don't
thing,
know what's going on.
That's the thing that I don't, like, I don't really care, because the gunplay in the game is so satisfying. The gameplay just feels so good. The loot loop is, for me, a lot of fun to go after, just trying to continually challenge yourself with the new missions and the daily missions and stuff that are circulating out. It's fun to me, and there's even like a great, really great PvP element that's just straight up like, hey, this is Halo, but with abilities instead of equipment.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think I heard, that the thing is like the story, like it's almost the same thing with Diablo. Like the story doesn't matter. Like a lot of people just hated Diablo 3's story, and it's totally warranted. I think the story's mediocre and really poorly written and just laughable. But that's Blizzard kind of realized that and just was like, all right, well, we're gonna make it so you don't have to play a story, and we're just gonna play cool events from the story, and that's all you get to do. But you don't actually have to sit through the cutscenes and listen to anyone talk or yabber on. But so I kind of think that Destiny almost could benefit from that a little bit.
I think that that's. I don't think that that's necessarily true, though, because I mean, Bungie was hyping up Destiny as being like this big deal, and they have like all these cutscenes and all that sort of stuff that's in it, and all these like if it was just a loot grind, there's no need to.
But that's the thing.
Why would they even bother spending that? Why would they even like if they didn't care about it, or if they knew that people wouldn't care about it, they wouldn't have put in all this effort and all this, like, oh, we got to make this lore.
I think, you know, Blizzard cared about Diablo 3's story a lot, and they have a whole, like, they have one person on the staff of Blizzard is just there to be the lore master and know everything about all the games. So obviously they care about it, but it doesn't mean it's very good and players care about it is a thing.
Yeah, I that's kind of my thing with Destiny. Well, and the thing about Destiny is that there's actually probably, you can count on both hands the number of cutscenes in the game. There really isn't that much, there aren't really many cinematics in the game at all. And you could kind of just ignore the story and just play it because you like playing it and be perfectly fine. Yeah. I agree that you can't really judge intent, and like Matt was saying, they did put obviously a big effort into creating a world and to creating some kind of narrative that the players could play through, but
it's just not a very good one.
It's not a very good one, but at the end of the day, I feel like it's not what you should play Destiny for. Obviously, yeah. If that's what you play games for and that's what you are looking forward to most in Destiny, just don't play it. Like don't waste your time. But if the sound of Halo mechanics with kind of the Diablo loot loop sounds appealing to you with some very light MMO elements, there's some very very light amounts of MMO aspects going on in the game. If that sounds like something you'd like to try and play, like definitely check out Destiny, because again, the gameplay just feels so good in it. It's like just some of the best shooting mechanics I thought, because it's the Halo shooting mechanics, but taking the best elements from a lot of other first person shooters mm-hmm. and a lot of the most popular. Like there's some Call of Duty. Influences in there with now you can aim down the sights and you can slide into cover and stuff like that. There's some Borderlands influences going in there with the class abilities and whatnot like that, as well as the guns, you know, the guns that drop and upgrading your guns and upgrading your character and whatnot. So it's definitely a fun experience, a fun game. Again, but you really need to temper expectations, and maybe that's where a lot of the backlash comes from, is that there was all this hype that it was going to be something, you know, revolutionary, when really it's just another fun game to play.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, really, is that this just like they were talking it up as being like this game changer, like this is going to be.
There was an insurmountable amount of hype around that game for some reason. Yeah. Like everyone I knew heard talked about it. Like people I know who don't play games and stuff. Like they'd have really great marketing, but you know, marketing can backfire. Whatever gets so hyped up that they're gonna be like, "This isn't as good as I hoped."
But I mean, again, it brings back to the fact that Halo 3. If you all remember the marketing surrounding Halo 3 specifically, that had some bananas marketing. And you know what? I was actually very let down by the story and other elements of Halo 3 because of the marketing hyped it up so much. They had those amazingly directed commercials by Neil Blomkamp, the guy who did District 9. He did all those commercials. And it was
great. Make a movie at the time.
Yeah, and it made it feel like this was going to be like some really deep, emotionally investing kind of experience that you were going to get. And like, again, I didn't have an Xbox, so I only experienced Halo through the multiplayer over at my cousin's house, and occasionally playing through the campaigns. So that marketing campaign actually really got me hyped up and believing that the game was going to be something that it just ended up not being. Yeah. And then in retrospect, I ended up loving Halo 3 because I got tons of mileage out of the multiplayer and you know, looking for skulls and whatnot. But maybe that's the same thing. Maybe that's the same thing going on here with Destiny, just on a larger scale.
I think that's got a lot to do with it. I think that people were expecting something a little bit more, and due to the nature of like how Bungie themselves weren't really describing the game or like very well. They weren't like they were saying it's not an MMO, but it kind of is. But it's not like Borderlands. It's not like Diablo. But it's like, but you can play it multiplayer. But you have to play it online and like all this sort of like. They never really talked about the specifics of that kind of stuff, while at the same time they were saying, but it's going to change everything, it's going to be the biggest thing ever. And of course, that's what everyone's going to say about their game. But a lot of hype went into it, and yeah, like Ethan was saying, people who don't know anything about video games were talking about this. What's this Destiny thing? I hear it's the biggest thing ever. I think for me, personally, it comes down to like talking about that, like that loot grind. Like that's just not what I'm into, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
like
I am.
Yeah,
tell
I know.
You about Diablo 3.
Oh, yeah. I think I do play games much more for not always the story, like, but for some sort of coherent, singular experience. I guess, you know, that could be a story, that could be just a really fun gameplay, like structure, but something that has like a through line to it, so to speak. You know what I mean? Something that has a I like a well crafted thing. It's the reason I can't get into Minecraft. Well, I admit that that's also a very good
well crafted, huh?
Yeah. Why you gotta do a creepy voice when you say that?
I don't know, because it sounded funny. Anyway, continue. You can't get into Minecraft because
it has so little structure that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a toy box, you know? Whereas, like, games like Diablo and Destiny have much more structure, but it's all based on doing the same or similar tasks repeatedly to get better things to do the same tasks. And it never ends, and I feel... I burn out on that, and it becomes, like... I guess I just ask, like, when I'm playing, I go, oh, what's the point?
Like, yeah.
Whereas if I'm working towards an end game of some kind, that is much more what I look for in a game, which is why I'm glad I didn't buy Destiny in the end, because it doesn't sound like I would have enjoyed it as much.
Yeah, most definitely you wouldn't. Like, it's kind of in that vein, I guess it does come down to it, the people who maybe like to challenge... like themselves, make their own fun as opposed to being opposed by a game that says, come, like, experience me, come beat me, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which Destiny, very easy to beat as long as you stay slightly over the level cap and as long as you stay, as long as you're semi-competent in first-person shooters, you can get through it no problem.
I think that also like those that kind of game lives and dies on multiplayer. I mean, I don't know about you if you've been playing single player the whole time, but
I've played it mostly single player through all the story missions. I played a good amount of the PvP in the Crucible area, and the strike missions, which are kind of they're not raids because they actually have raids in the game, but they're kind of just instanced. Dungeons sort of type gameplay. I don't know how to describe them. Those actually matchmake you up with two other people, so I have played all those with two complete strangers, and that's been a lot of fun. That's been a lot of fun just because the very basic emotes in the game are fun to try to communicate to other people with. Basically,
yeah,
it just ends with everybody dancing, but...
I'm not a huge like Borderlands fan either, but like playing that game with other people is definitely where I would have fun with that. Like if I had two people to play Destiny with the whole way through, I might enjoy it a little bit more. But it's still not something that I would stick with. I don't think I would keep playing it.
And that's completely fair. Like, I don't actually even disagree with a lot of the criticism of Destiny. I just think I'm having too much fun with the game. I'm having fun with the game, so I just don't.
How dare you?
Oh,
this game is bad. It has been decided.
Is it? Has it?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the meta score?
So what have you been playing, Matt?
6 out of 10. Bad game. That's how we decide.
No!
I've been... So speaking of circular things that are circular, I don't know how... My segue was... Speaking of doing the same tasks over and over again, speaking of going around in circles... I've been playing Roundabout, which is completely different from Diablo or Destiny in every way, shape, or form. Other than the fact that it has cutscenes.
Elaborate.
Roundabout is a game that just came out on Steam, and I think actually might have come out on Xbox One and PS4 as well. I'm not sure. It might just be Steam. I can't remember. But it is a really weird, fun game. I guess I would call it a puzzle game. You are, you play Giorgio Manos. She is the world's first revolving limo driver. And when I say revolving, I mean like the limo is constantly spinning. And and so it's in the 70s, and it has FMV cutscenes, and it basically plays like Crazy Taxi if... you were playing Crazy Taxi with a limo, and the limo was constantly spinning in circles. And
so the Offspring is in it.
And when you hit things, you blow up. No, it's all 70s songs. So
the 70s Offspring.
Yes.
Who were, I don't know.
Babies.
Just babies crying the whole time. It's their music sounds like anyways.
What about Bad Religion?
Bad Religion.
They're in Crazy Taxi as well.
Are they? I thought it was all Offspring.
No, it's Bad Religion. There's a couple.
Wow.
I think they're in like one or two.
My childhood was a lie.
Anyway, yeah, I can't really describe it too much without showing it. It's one of those games where you watch it and you go like, that doesn't look very hard at all, and then you like pick up the controller and you're like, oh, this is hard. Because if you hit things, you blow up. You get like 5 hits or something like that, and then you blow up. And there's not a big punishment for doing that. You just reset on the other side of the obstacle, basically. But the game's very much built around you can do this mission again and try and get like a perfect score kind of thing. And if you do it, you know, they rate you based on time, based on how many hits you took. You get combo for breaking things or running over people and who run away from you and scream and have like funny blood splatter shapes on the floor.
Nice.
And just like all good games, your taxi can jump. It has the most car horns of any game in 2014 advertised on the Steam page for it.
A lot of car horns.
Yeah, they're unlockable. You gotta find them all. You get hats. Hats for your car.
Oh, hats for your car?
Yeah, hats for your car.
I thought you meant for your character.
Nope. Your character is a live-action woman played... They can't add hats in...
They've already filmed it all.
They've already... a live-action woman?
Yep.
None of those 2D women for you?
Nah.
None of those fictional women?
Nah, dog. Samus, get out of here.
The villain is a French-Canadian evil limo driver.
Okay, that makes sense.
And he steals your idea for a revolving limo, and he's going to take over the world via revolving limo service.
What?
Yep.
Just like a French-Canadian.
And it has a million something awful forums references, because the creators are from there, as well as a bunch of giant bomb references, because the creators are also fans of that site. So if you were fans of either of those things, you may recognize either some of the cast, which pull from both those sources, as well as some of the Easter eggs and just achievements and stuff like that in the game. So it's really fun, but you'd have to really I just have to say to anyone who, if that pitch sounded remotely interesting or just like what the heck is this, go look up like a review or a quick look on Giant Bomb or something like that, and And check it out, because it's freaking crazy.
How much is that right now on Steam?
I think it's, like, they're doing a sale for the first week, so it's, like, $12 for the basic version, and, like, the limited edition, or whatever they call it, the, like, special edition is $15 with the sale.
Okay.
Normally it's $15 for the full game, and $20 for the limited. I don't think the limited edition gets you too much, except for a couple extras and things like that. I said all the cutscenes are FMV, right?
Yes.
This is key, because all the cutscenes are they're FMV by not actors. Just like
people, most FMV?
People in bad wigs in what is very obviously a small set on a green screen. And yeah, it's
so
pretty
very
good.
Very Mad Dog McCree, very Sewer Shark. And
oh yeah.
That style. Night
yeah,
trap.
It's like they do a good job actually of like none of them are hamming it up. None of them are good actors though. So it's like it's the exact no one's like doing bad acting on purpose. They're just bad. But they're not like trying to be like obnoxious about it. So it's not like it's not too tongue in cheek where you're just like rolling your eyes. It's the perfect amount. Yeah.
Well,
also it's got a silent protagonist. In an FMV game. So.
What?
Yeah, the, okay. the protagonist never speaks. She just looks at the camera. And that's it.
Most car yeah. horns, silent protagonist in an FMV. This sounds like the rebel. This is what all this that money in that got went into Destiny should have gone into. This is changing the game.
Changing gaming industry.
We're changing the game.
Forever. So that's all I've been, other than Bop It, mainly Bop It.
Oh, so you did find time for something besides Bop It then? That was
yeah,
Bop It and Roundabout.
Bop It and Roundabout, that's it. That's exactly it. Should we move on to some news?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
News. It's time for the news. This is where the news music goes. I forgot.
We have news music?
I forgot. Yeah. Okay. This is where it goes, right here. Right here.
Oh.
The first news, what do you guys want to talk about first? I think this one's pretty big. Microsoft has purchased Minecraft. Do you remember that game?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I do remember that game.
Oh, so it's I hear about this Minecraft. I think it's going to be big.
Yeah. Doubt it.
It's
Have you seen the
it?
Graphics? Yeah. Have you seen the graphics? Nah.
Kind of a big deal.
No, okay.
So
well,
for
I mean,
$2.5 billion, right?
Yeah, $2.5 billion was the buyout price.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, this is interesting because I was actually just the other day thinking about what kind of exclusives Microsoft had right now, and other than Halo, I really couldn't think of anything.
Fusion Frenzy.
Well, and Rare, I guess all the Rare properties, but that makes me sad to think about.
Link's the Time Sweeper.
Link, yes.
Sunset Overdrive.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies.
No, you're right. There isn't many.
Sunset Overdrive is not. It's exclusive, but it's not. It's not a first party. It's not like Microsoft made. Did not make that game. I don't think. All right,
that's fine.
Insomniac, or no.
Oh, yeah. Lion! Yeah, I think Lionhead is also Fable.
Fable.
But again, that's paid by.
But like, it just seems like such an. I mean, I know Microsoft has been doing a lot of stuff with the Minecraft Xbox versions. I own the Xbox version of Minecraft. Very fun, very good game. If you haven't played Minecraft yet,
What's that?
Anyway, but like, I just feel like this is. I don't know. If this is really, to use the phrase of the day, a game changer. Like, I just don't see...
It isn't. It really isn't. I think what it really does for me is kind of put to rest Minecraft. But not in a, like, it's done. Like, no one's going to play it anymore. But in, like, a... This is, like from here on out, they might change some things. They might keep it the same. They'll probably keep updating it like they have been, but it's like this is the conclusion, I guess, of the Minecraft story, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like the story around Minecraft, and it'll keep going and it'll keep being the giant, huge thing it is. I mean, like that's the thing is they've they paid $2.5 billion, but they're going to make that all back really quick. Like, the amount of licensing that Minecraft has. I went to the store the other day, and just the toy section has, like, 50 Minecraft
products. Yeah, I was at Target today, and they have a whole
That's where I was.
Little, yeah, they have a little section in the toys. Just Minecraft stuff.
Minecraft Legos, Minecraft hats, Minecraft...
Yeah, the swords, the...
Yeah. There's a lot of people who keep questioning, like, why would they buy this? But I feel like those people are in the tech... Like, well, people I know in the tech industry I listen to, they're questioning it a lot about it. Like, why would they do this? And I don't think they understand
the
massive scale that Minecraft is. It's not just a computer game. It's not just a console game. It's everywhere. I mean, it's on every single console. You can play it on your phone. It's pretty much on...
And kids are obsessed with it. Like, you are when you're buying Minecraft, you are buying a game that literally... Every young person right now is playing, and I don't know if I've ever seen a game that's caught hold that much, like, like for little kids, and like even older kids, too, but, like...
Not since, like, Pokemon, maybe.
Yeah, not since Pokemon, really.
Yeah. And even then, it's like, you know, not every kid who plays it now is going to continue playing games, but that's going to be, like, the game that defines, like... Yeah, like, I guess Pokemon's the closest thing I can think of, probably. Mm-hmm. That's a good comparison. But, yeah, like, that's going to be, the defining game for a lot of those kids growing up and looking at new games coming out. They're not going to be... And Minecraft's so different from a lot of games, too. It's more, like I said earlier, it's more like a toy. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean that in just, like, it's like this building, creativity, like, sweet. Like, you're just making stuff.
Well,
and
doing
whatever you want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not a bad thing. It's just, I wonder if that will translate well into, like, oh, I like Minecraft, therefore, like, this other game by creators of Minecraft. You know, if Microsoft is like, oh, we own Minecraft, let's add on other games. I'm not sure if that will ever... really catch on, but they'll definitely make their money back, that's for sure. That will not be a bad investment in the long term.
Most definitely. And I mean, on the one hand, you kind of look at it from the standpoint of, like, you know, that Notch right after that announced that he was, you know, leaving the company and whatnot. I guess he'd never kind of looked at himself as, like, a game maker, so It's gonna kind of be weird to kind of think of him sort of outside that industry, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, again, not to be insulting to Minecraft, but I don't think he or even at its beginnings, like, anyone expected it to be this huge thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like one of those instances where it's like a flash in the pan of, like, it might not have even been... It probably... Again, this is going to sound something, but it probably wasn't because he's some sort of genius or, like... You know what I mean? That it probably wasn't that he just, like, was, like, the best game creator of all time. It's just that he had a really good idea, kind of built on it a little bit, and it just took off in this crazy way because it hit that certain chord with people. And, you know, he hasn't been working on it for, like, years, you know? So... I think that, like, without being insulting to him, it's kind of on that level of just, like, I'm not a game creator. I didn't really mean for this to be what it is. And sure, I've made a ton of money, and sure, that's all well and good for him, but I'm sure he's kind of also just like, I don't want to do this anymore in terms of all this attention and publicity and press the time, constantly.
Yeah.
I could definitely get wearing after a while. I mean, yeah. He has a lot of opinions, but... he was able to voice those opinions with a big audience, but I mean, I feel like he wanted to. It was almost similar to how the Flappy Bird guy kind of hated all the publicity. Like, it's something that, you know, is normal people probably wouldn't understand until they're actually in that situation.
And,
that it's
and just same thing, and Flappy Bird wasn't a good game either.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still... Yeah, oh man. All the high level targets.
Yep.
Yes, us and our little podcast that we haven't recorded in over a year.
Yes.
We are primed to take them down.
Taking down the big mans.
Too much bop it.
They're not saying there's no... They're not questioning the ethics of Pixel Legends, that's for sure.
Nope. Because we don't have any.
Everyone, there's no question about it. We're just completely unethical in every way.
Yep. True.
Publishers, if you want to send us free things, it's cool.
Speaking, we'll sell them on eBay later.
Huh? Speaking of non-ethics. I don't know, honestly. I don't know. There were so many good segues. I wanted to try to do one.
No,
it just didn't
happen. I got this. Kickstarter's preventing people from putting their money in for ethically devoid companies that just take money and don't produce a product.
All right. That was close to a giant bomb headline right there. That was pretty good.
I liked it.
Yeah. It was really long.
10 out of 10.
All right. Yeah. But yeah, so Kickstarter change policy is going to go into effect October 16th, where basically people have to now start paying up for their. They can't just
take the money and run.
There wasn't anything in the policy before where if the product that was advertised was not delivered, like there were no real penalties. But it seems like they're changing that a lot now.
I think this was just a matter of time before this happened.
I mean, I can see the rationale of like maybe not wanting to instill a policy that's like the product that was promised was not delivered, because then you get people saying, well, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, so I want my money back or whatever. But there was recently a project that just went under. It was somewhat. Fairly well-known author, I think, was making a sword fighting game, and it'd been like in limbo. It had reached well past its its Kickstarter fund, and it was in limbo for like a good 2 years with only like a demo being produced and stuff, and it just finally got canceled and like. You know, the backers are finding out they're not getting an actual game. They got, you know, some of their perks or whatever that they were supposed to be getting, but they're not getting what they put their money back in for, and they're not getting their money back, most certainly. So,
yeah, and I think that's each time that happened. That's happened, you know, several times now at this point. Each time was like a countdown timer, like one tick per of time that happened. There's a thing with like the Yogcast, you know, video game that was supposed to be made, and there was another game too, wasn't there? Now a couple like last year, where it's like this is slowly building up, and the bigger each one is, the more that's pushing towards that inevitability of some sort of rule that prevents people from doing this. And it's difficult because a lot of some of the situations probably aren't even purposeful.
Oh, definitely.
You know, like games get canceled. You know,
yeah. Like
games
this latest
run out of
one,
funding.
This latest one obviously wasn't because they were looking to swindle anybody. It was honestly that they had an idea and a concept. They tried it out, didn't work. They took it back to the drawing board, tried it out, tried desperately to give the people something, but they just weren't making a worthwhile product, so they just canned the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is the new policy is basically like if your project's failing or whatever, it's going to happen. You need to keep backers in the loop and offer to refund people basically what they can.
Which is really tricky because it's like
how do you make money? How do you get that money back? That sounds really hard.
Yeah, like at that point, especially for game development, right? It's like it's probably been like a year later at least, like you've probably spent all that money on trying to make the game. You know, if you're doing it for reals, obviously, if you're not just taking the money and running, you've probably spent all that money trying to make a game, and now you're going to need to give out refunds. So it's like, oh, geez, like that's going to, I think in the long run, I'm not sure if it'll be a good thing or a bad thing until we kind of see the results. It's going to take a while for those results to really take effect.
But it's good that at least they're acknowledging it and actually trying to actively better it.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just going to make it that less people start Kickstarters.
Yeah, that's
the
thing.
And we'll see if that's a good or bad thing. We don't know if it's a good or bad thing yet, but I think that's going to be the result.
It'll definitely preempt a lot of people who are like, oh, well, I have this really good idea. Let me go Kickstart it.
Potato salad.
Well, no, you actually have to follow through.
Yeah. And that's the tricky part. Because, I mean,
you can't just, give it a try anymore. You have to, actually...
The only downside is I think I see this hurting, honestly, people like us, not that we really were planning to kickstart anything, but like, say we were, we don't have the financial backing should everything go wrong. So like, you know, back in the day, Kickstarter would be ideal for us, because if we don't make it, then, oh well, we never had the money anyway. And mm-hmm. if we make it, then great, now we can start our project or whatever we're working on. And now we have to like weigh this probability odds thing of like, well, what if we get the money, but then we have to like preclude for every possible situation where it all, you know, falls apart later on. And, you know, in that case, we wouldn't have the money to give the money back to the, you know, hundreds or thousands of people that, that potentially have backed it. So that would be a tricky situation, I think, for the smaller indie, like maybe first time developers of a game or a movie or a book or whatever it is that is a more difficult.
Yeah, most definitely. And I mean, but you definitely see the rise of other kind of similar things Patreon.
Yeah.
You see a lot more independent like creators and artists using that.
There's Indiegogo as well, which I think Indiegogo. Even if you don't meet your funds, you can keep the money.
You keep the money.
I can't lose,
Arnold. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe I lost. speaking of losing things, Blizzard has lost the franchise they've been working on for 7 years because they decided to stop working on it now.
Known as Titan, the MMO that's been the next gen MMO, the follow-up
game they never announced.
They never announced officially, but it's known to be working on. Has been canceled. They stopped working on it, and they just said I think it was maybe a year or two ago. They said they restructured and completely scrapped everything in Titan because it wasn't working. And now it seems that whatever they tried doing, it didn't seem to be working, and that might be just because of the current state of MMOs right now, and just the fact that at the time they really had almost lightning in a bottle with the World of Warcraft, but now they maybe realize that they can't replicate that. Maybe that's not what they want to do.
And I think back at the time when they started Titan, World of Warcraft was their biggest money. I think it is still probably it still probably is their biggest money in even today. But it was like, you know, World of
it
Warcraft
was still growing.
MMOs were like the way to make all the money 7 years ago. Now that's not the case anymore in terms of. Like, they have Hearthstone, which I'm sure is doing very well for them. Heroes of the Storm is coming out pretty soon. And, you know, I'm not sure how well that will compete against Dota and League of Legends and, you know, Heroes of New Earth and those kind of things. But those games have been, you know, known for being free to play, but also big money earners for the companies that own them. So.
And you got to think that it's going to do pretty well. I mean, people are going to play anything Blizzard throws out there. And. So, a MOBA created by Blizzard, you know, I think it's going to be might not eclipse Dota, but it'll definitely be up there, and you know.
Yeah. I think that it has a lot to do with like they probably were working on it for so long, and like you said, Ethan, just MMOs were like they couldn't rebuild the MMO. They couldn't change it enough to the modern, you know, the modern tastes, while still making it different enough from World of Warcraft to justify a whole new game. And then at the same time, the double whammy of like, well, you know, subscription-based or even free-to-play-based MMOs are not where the big money is these days anyway.
Yeah. Or maybe they saw Destiny and were like, well, that's the best it's going to get, and they canceled it.
Totally.
That's definitely it.
This is the future of gaming. They said it. They said it themselves.
Yep,
10 years.
Like,
10 years of Destiny. Well,
10 years.
6.0.
10 more years. 10 more years.
6.0. All right. Well, time to. Time to rethink that.
What? Rethink that. Rethink that. Like how Valve rethought of the Steam front page and rethought completely.
They just keep getting worse. These segments.
Yeah, they do. These aren't getting better. I mean, it's awful. But yeah, today Steam released a new
awful
update.
Like something awful, which created a game called
Have
Roundabout.
Have you been playing the game? It's a Roundabout. Destiny.
It's but, Roundabout. Yeah, the new in Destiny. I went Roundabout four planets.
I'm trying to get off these jokes, gentlemen.
The traveler.
While we're still ahead.
He's asleep. Right, what's he doing?
Sleeping. Did he have reminds me of what Valve was doing when they updated the terms and conditions.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know if the terms and conditions, I haven't read them yet, so. But yeah, Steam did update their whole storefront and a couple other things.
The greatest thing they've added is the ability to get early access games off of new on Steam. Which
that is beautiful.
Awesome.
I'm going to change it right now. Where do I
it's
go?
It's like right at the front. You go to on top of everything, there is a thing that says customize, and you can click it and click different kinds you want. You can also uncheck software because some people don't want to see software. You can also uncheck games already in your account so you don't see new games that you already own. There's also a cool thing. They also have a recently updated section. They've had that for a little while, but being able to customize it's kind of cool. So now you can put games that are only in your account, so you can see if any games you own just get updated, or maybe you don't want that. I don't know. It's up to you, man. There's more customization than ever.
Wow.
There's also a new thing they added called Steam Curators.
Yep. Which is, yeah, I saw it. We were talking about that for a little bit here. Oh yeah, customize right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
It actually turned off early access for me automatically.
Oh, interesting.
That's really cool.
But yeah, Steam Curators is where if you're like a popular gaming personality or a maybe
website.
A publication or something,
yep.
And you want to recommend games that are really cool, you can kind of create a list and people can follow that and see recommendations straight from you in kind of this queue thing. Speaking of queue, there's also a queue called straight up Your Queue where you go through, like, it basically shows you a bunch of games and is like, all right, I'm not interested. You can follow the game to see if it gets any better, like maybe an early access game or something. Or you can add it to your wish list if you really want to buy it, or you can just straight up buy it. But the ability to hit not interested is kind of cool, because then if you see a game that maybe is going to be really popular, like say you come across DayZ or something, and you don't ever want to hear about DayZ ever again, you can hit not interested, and then the Steam will never show you that game again, which is pretty...
So I can create cool. I can create even more of an echo chamber for myself on the internet?
Yes, you can.
All right,
just
I can't wait.
Don't you want to not learn about any games?
Forget Reddit. I'm just sticking to Steam.
Yeah, exactly.
For all the things that I like already and want to keep hearing about.
But
that does sound pretty cool. That is actually, in all seriousness, that's actually some cool additions.
Yeah, I really dig this storefront. I think it's a little bit more modern, easier to organize. Yeah. Still some of the good stuff that I still like looking at, like top sellers and popular new releases. And those aren't curated. I wish there was maybe an option to make... Because the new on Steam section is seems pretty small. It's only like three... It only shows three games at a time. Maybe
yeah, which is
that.
Not...
Maybe six. Again, they have the customize button. They should just make it customized so you can see.
You can click on it and it will show you more like in chronological order at that point. But like then you got to look at this big giant list. Whereas like, you know.
It's better just have it kind of simpler, easier. Yeah. Especially considering how much games are coming out. I think
Gang Beasts.
It'd be better to have a couple extra tiles out there. But yeah, overall, it's pretty cool. I'm glad they're.
And it looks nicer. It looks slicker. Just in visually looks.
And it runs pretty well. Also, it seems like there's an endless scroll. Oh yeah, there's an endless scroll. They had an endless scroll, so you can just keep scrolling and seeing games.
Oh my goodness, man,
this never ends.
Never ending games.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's pretty much it for news. Either of you guys, anything else you wanted to talk about? Before we move on,
My RAM went bad, so I'm running my gaming computer off 2 gigs of RAM, which is almost.
Where was that news at? Where could I read about that?
That's on Kotaku.com, on Polygon.com, on
all major gaming sites.
Yeah. Ethan Hawke's RAM goes bad.
Jerks' RAM goes bad.
Yep.
You won't believe what happens next. He puts different
RAM.
He puts in an RMA request and gets free RAM back.
A man's RAM went bad on his computer. What he does next will shock you.
Oh, I have to click that link. have to know.
10 reasons you should know why this man's RAM went bad.
10 GIFs that show what he was feeling when his RAM went bad.
Take your personality test and see what kind of RAM you are, and wow, you'll go bad.
That's pretty much it.
And that's it.
I'm a DDR3, apparently, according to this.
You're Dance Dance Revolution 3?
I'm SODIMM 16 gigahertz. 16,000 gigahertz.
I'm DDR2, which is steady but slow. Slow and steady. Like a tortoise. I also have no idea if there's any reliability changes between RAM or anything, but...
And random access memory.
And I'm a Famicom cartridge. I don't know.
When I say RAM, I actually came up with I'm the expansion pack from the N64.
I don't like how you and I thought of that at the exact same time.
We spent too much time around each other.
Man, we brought a full circle. Weren't we talking about that earlier?
And now, time for emails.
Oh,
we're done with emails.
All right, good.
Yeah. So if you want to get
this is on the most depressing podcast ever, just us going like, man, we don't work, we don't do anything. Oh, no emails. Oh,
well, guess what? We're back now.
It's true. Everything's going to look up now.
Come back next week for even more. Are we going to do this weekly, guys?
Are we going to do Sosuenio?
Yeah. All right.
Are we going to be Sosuenio?
No crossovers.
Sosuenio.
No crossovers unless that person comes on our podcast.
Sosuenio. So,
okay. So.
We should end the podcast just there.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. So, with that, it's time to say goodbye, but not forever this time, because Pixel Legends is totally back, for reals.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to post this, and we're going to be at Indiecade. That's what we can say.
I'm not.
You're not. But you could go if you want.
Nah.
Okay. Last year, actually, that's true. It's been less than a year because we went to Indiecade last year.
We
met Greg Kasavin, and we posted that video about him. So that was something.
It's true. But we'll be at Indiecade this year. So if you see us and you actually recognize us, please come say hi.
That would be amazing. I would be so crazy. Shocked. If you are my girlfriend, then that doesn't count. You can't recognize me.
If you see me there... then you're going crazy. Please go to Poison Control because you've taken something.
Ricardo will be there too.
Yep. Right. But I will be Sosuenio.